In November of ninth grade, high school for me, ninth grade, November, our family moved from Michigan to Ohio. First day at my new school, I was nervous, truly. You see, the school I was leaving in Michigan was small, very personable. Everybody knew everybody. There at that school, I was warmly welcomed, included on sports teams, which was amazing. I played basketball. Look at my height. It was amazing. I was included playing. And truly, the school I was in, it felt like family. I was going to this new school there in Ohio, and at this new school, would I be accepted? I wondered. Would I be actually included on the basketball team? And would I feel like I belonged? Homeroom teacher that first morning, homeroom teacher Mr. England welcomed me, took me over to a back corner against the wall and introduced me to another ninth grade student, Dan McBride. I went on later to learn his full name was Daniel James McBride. Mr. England said to me, "Dan is going to help you meet people. Find your classes, show you around. He also plays basketball on our team. He'll show you the ropes at basketball after school. Enjoy your day. Off you go." And I have to tell you, that was an amazing meetup and a real game changer, truly. Dan put me at ease throughout the day as we traveled between classes. At lunch, he included me in conversation at the lunch table. He introduced me to various new friends. After school, he helped me figure out everything about basketball practice. He actually, during practice, passed me the ball. I felt welcomed because he passed me the ball. We laughed together about how neither of us really belonged on the basketball team because we weren't really natural athletes, and believe it or not, he was actually shorter than I am. We laughed about it, and over days to come, we started to become truly good friends. And through his help, I sensed that there was a place for me. I sensed that I actually belonged. Luke chapter 3 spotlights how Christ's followers are fully accepted, belonging in God's family. I want to invite you to join me there. Go ahead, grab your copy of God's Word. Let's dive in. Luke 3, verses 21 through 38 is our focus today. And these verses show us Jesus' baptism story and his family tree. With these sacred storylines, we discover who makes sure we belong. Who makes sure we belong? Let's look here at Luke 3. You can have it open there in hand. A few of the lines at different points will be up on the screen, but I want to encourage you to see it for yourself right there, open in hand. You can look on, you can listen, starting with verse 21. God's word says, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened." Opening 20 verses, we saw them last time together, we were introduced to Jesus' cousin John, who was preaching the good news. He gave a call to baptism and repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's words were strong, challenging for the initial crowd hearing him and also for us. As we interacted with the truth last week, we could see it. We could sense some of the in his words, that challenge, tough challenge like that. But also great hope. Great hope as we respond to the gospel, this incredible good news. Crowds coming to be baptized, buzzed with anticipation about him. Might John be the promised anointed one, the Messiah, the king that the old prophets like Isaiah foretold? Might he be the one? John clearly, humbly makes it all about the one yet to come, Christ and his coming baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. John pictures the gathering that this promised king will do, gathering into his barn all those who belong, but clearing away those who do not. This backdrop leads us into verse 21, where we start today. And as we enter in verse 21, this scene is full of more intrigue, and we'll get there in a moment. More coming up right there. But several just sobering realities in our own day about this business of belonging. We live in one of the most connected generations in history. Yet, many people have never felt more alone. Studies reveal that loneliness has become a significant public health concern. Roughly 20% to 33%, when they run the studies, it's in that range. Roughly 20% to 33% of U.S. adults report feeling lonely every day or on a weekly basis. So much so that this has started to be described by the U.S. Surgeon General as a public health epidemic. Loneliness increases the risk of early mortality by 26% and is fundamentally tied to both physical and psychological distress. So this often shows up as depression. 60% of chronically lonely people experience mental distress compared to just 15% of those who are not. And then this takes a serious physical toll. The health risks right now of prolonged loneliness and social isolation are equivalent. This is mind-blowing. It's equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and are directly linked to elevated blood pressure and an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. People, think about it. People are surrounded by technology. Most of you are holding it right now in your hand, but starving for meaningful relationships. We long to belong, to be known, accepted, loved, and valued. This longing is not accidental. God wired us for relationship, both with him and with one another. And we can summarize beautifully this good news in Luke 3, 21 to 38 like this. Here's a summary. Because Jesus is the beloved Son, everyone who trusts him is welcomed him into the Father's family through the Holy Spirit. True belonging is found in what we, not in what we achieve, but in whose we are. True belonging is found not in what we achieve, but in whose we are. Perhaps no human desire is stronger than the desire to belong. Children long to hear, yeah, come on, we're family. You belong here. Yes, you're one of us. Middle school and high school students search desperately for a place where they fit, like ninth grader John Pletcher starting in a new school. Adults often spend their lives trying to prove they deserve acceptance at work, in friendships, even acceptance in church. Good news in Luke chapter 3 is that Christianity is not merely about finding forgiveness, as sweet and important as that is, or better morality, as good as better morality is. It is about being welcomed into the eternal fellowship of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think on this. Before Jesus performs a single documented miracle, before he preaches a sermon, before he calls a disciple, we are given a front row seat to this stunning circle belonging in the family. Jesus the Son's anointing and baptism with the Holy Spirit descending and the Heavenly Father declaring marvelous affirmations of his Son. Luke also delivers a very intentional, revelatory look at Jesus' family tree. And as we're going to see in a few minutes, that holds some serious implications, not just for way back then, but for even our lives today. Everything that follows in Jesus' ministry flows from belonging. And because we belong to Christ, we are assuredly welcomed into that same family. It's here we grow. We faithfully share the good news blessings with others. We serve others in good ways. We flourish. We flourish in these gospel blessings that we in turn then ripple out toward others. But who makes sure we really do belong like this? That's the big question. Who makes sure we really belong like this? Are there characters? Is there someone or someone's like Daniel James McBride was to me in ninth grade? Someone who makes sure we belong? There are, in fact, three remarkable persons make sure we get into this circle of belonging. See verse 21 again. Remarkable, as others are being baptized, Jesus was too. What a statement. Now, this immediately prompts the question, if baptism symbolizes cleansing from sin, why did Jesus get baptized? After all, God's story makes it clear, Jesus never sinned. Hebrews 4:15 says he was without sin. He did not commit sins like we do. I got some news for you. You got sinners sitting all around you. Some of you are looking, Yeah. Jesus never sinned. Never sinned. He did not commit sins. He was 100% perfect, holy, sinless Son of God, but he did take our sins upon himself during his life and death, culminating on Calvary's cross, where he took on himself our guilt. He carried the weight and the judgment of our sin. Why? To cleanse us by his blood, fully forgive, fully redeem us, and ultimately restore us into God's family. So we belong. Paul describes it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. 5:21 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Why baptism for Jesus? He would fully identify with us sinners. He pictured how he's making sure we belong. The fully identify with us Son, Christ Jesus, make sure you belong. The fully identify with us Son, Christ Jesus, make sure we belong. As all these sinners are getting baptized there at the Jordan River, repenting of their sins, responding to this good news that John the Baptizer is proclaiming, Jesus just steps right into the mix and gets baptized too. His baptism pictures what he would fully accomplish in making us righteous, even in his taking our sin upon himself. His baptism displays how he fully identifies with us. Indeed, he gets us. And he will make us righteous. Did you catch that Jesus was praying? That really jumped out at me this week. I've read it before, but it just really jumped out at me this time. See, more than any other gospel author, Luke spotlights Jesus' prayer life. I get curious when I'm reading the sacred old lines of the Bible. I can't help but wonder what Jesus was saying to his Father. Luke leaves it mysterious. But make sure we know Jesus, as he's standing there in this scene, he's praying. He's praying to the Father. Several bold make it personal ideas for us. Pray like Jesus, get baptized like Jesus, trust Jesus for your own belonging. Pray like Jesus, get baptized like Jesus, trust Jesus for your own belonging. If Jesus was the man of prayer, why not you and me? Why not prioritize prayer every day in your life? If Jesus was compelled to be baptized, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, if he was compelled to be baptized, why not you and me? If Jesus so fully identified with us, even assuming our sinful condition for us, just makes good sense, truly, that we stop trying to make up our own righteousness, trying to earn the Father's love and favor. Let's give up aiming to work our way into right standing, striving to belong based on our own merit. This scene is spotlighting Jesus, God's Son, his full identification with us, for us. He gets us. So, trust him as your source of true belonging. Trust him as your source of true belonging. And regarding this prayer piece, let's rewatch the clip that we saw at the very start of the service. We launched this clip, this little video with prayers of praise and thanks to God for our nation as we celebrate this weekend, but then some really deep heartfelt prayers about how to pray, how to give thanks, and how to pray on behalf of the U.S. Let's give up thanks and prayer for our nation right now again. Watch this. The sinless Son of God makes sure you belong. There's a second person who makes sure you belong. The come down, come close, help us, Holy Spirit, make sure you belong. The come down, come close, help us, Holy Spirit, make sure we belong. Look at the first part of verse 22. It says, and the Holy Spirit descended. Luke says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Luke emphasizes the Holy Spirit throughout his gospel. And then, of course, in the historical record, the book of Acts, the Spirit descends visibly upon Jesus right here. Soon, the Spirit will lead him into the wilderness, empower his ministry, and later be poured out upon his followers. The Spirit is not merely God's power. Let's be clear about that. It's not like a power strip plugged into the wall or an open spot you can plug into and get some juice for your phone. It's not the Force in Star Wars. Much, much more. The Spirit is God's personal presence coming close, helping, gifting, enabling all of God's family. The bigger biblical story shows how the Spirit takes what belongs to Christ and applies it to everyday believers like you and me. He assures us that we belong. Believers receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father. The Spirit teaches us to pray, to speak to God not as strangers, but as children. Trusting children. A child lost in a crowded amusement park experiences panic. Maybe it has happened to you with your kiddos or your grandkiddos, or maybe you were that kiddo at some point, lost in the amusement park, feeling panic, and nothing looks familiar, and everything feels threatening. And then a little girl lost like that hears one familiar voice. Hey, it's okay. Daddy's here. Daddy's here. And instantly, fear gives way to peace. The Spirit, Christ's Spirit, continually whispers the Father's voice to us as God's children. You are not abandoned. You are loved. You belong. When anxiety whispers, you're alone. Listen instead for the Spirit's reassuring testimony. When shame says, you'll never be enough. Remember how the Spirit points to Christ Jesus, not your worst performance, not even your exceptional works. The Spirit keeps bringing us back into assurance, security, great security in the Son, Jesus' righteousness for us, and the Father's loving, faithful embrace. The Holy Spirit also empowers us with confident hearts and confident skills for greater effectiveness in everyday life. Like the Spirit descended on Jesus, enabling him in special ways for his earthly ministry, the Spirit gives us special abilities, gifts, and real-time daily energy for our endeavors in our workplaces every day, in church ministry opportunities, in interactions with our neighbors, when we encounter people with special needs, as well as conversations and challenges with family, the Holy Spirit comes close to help us. The Holy Spirit comes close to help us. Great application every day. Will you dare to pray? Precious and powerful Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence and special enabling in my life. Please also help and fill in the blank. Somebody who's in your path, a coworker, a neighbor, one of your family members. Please also help. Help them today sense your strength and hope. Please help me to help her or him with, and keep on talking to the Father about it. There's one more person in the Trinity, our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, and He also certainly makes sure we belong. Our love us, delight in us, Father, make sure we belong. Our love us, delight in us, Father, make sure we belong. Second half of verse 22, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The Spirit's descent on Jesus was seen. Father's voice was heard by others. Vital to realize, Jesus did not earn the Father's love at the cross. Instead, Jesus teaches, serves others, works miracles, goes to the cross and the tomb, then rises again, all flowing from the Father's love. That changes everything, truly. Many people live trying to earn acceptance. Gracious Gospel says God's love and acceptance come our way before any achievement. Jesus' baptism demonstrates that truth. The Father delights in the Son before the Son has, in an official way, done anything here within this public ministry of teaching, preaching, redeeming, miracle working. The Father delights in the Son before he's done any of that. Imagine a little girl running across a soccer field after her first game. She didn't score. She barely touched the ball. She was mainly excited about snack time. That was one of my sons. He was a little tiny guy trying to learn soccer. It was only his first season out there. One day out there, he comes running across the field. Everybody else is still out there doing the mob ball thing. And he comes running across. He goes, "Is it snack time yet?" That was, of course, Joel, our middle son. This little girl, she didn't do anything spectacular. In fact, no guarantee that she'll get good enough and play in the World Cup someday. But when she reaches the sidelines at the end of the game, what happens? Her father kneels and hugs her. He kneels down and he hugs her and he says, "I love you and I'm proud of you." Why? Not because she won, but because she belongs. And that is the Father's heart toward his Son and through Christ toward each of us as his children. Many Christians secretly believe. This is what we got to watch out for, big time. Because many of us secretly believe, if I just obey enough, if I serve enough, if I pray hard enough, then God will finally accept me. Jesus' baptism with the Father's declaration that day says the opposite. We obey because we are loved. We serve because we are accepted and included in the family. Our identity precedes our activity. It's vital we catch this. We belong because of Jesus, the beloved Son. Luke 3:23 says, "Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli." Luke briefly introduces Jesus right here before detailing his family tree. 30 at the start of his public ministry. Genesis 41:46 tells us it's the same age as Joseph when he started leading in Egypt. According to Numbers 4, same age that the Levitical priests were to start serving. Also, David was 30 when he became king. 2 Samuel 5:4 tells us. Luke says, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. The phrase reminds us that appearances are not ultimate reality. Joseph, yes, legally, Jesus' father. Jesus is Joseph's legal son, but he is eternally God's son. This matters because only the true son can bring outsiders into the divine family. John Calvin wrote, "The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become sons of God." Every adoption requires someone to open the door, to make way, to make a deep, welcoming invitation. Jesus is that door. He entered our humanity so we can enter God's family. It's wonderful. Years ago, a family here in the U.S. adopted a little boy from far away overseas. And when he arrived, he owned almost nothing. He spoke almost no English yet. He had done nothing to deserve his new family. Yet overnight, He received a new name, a new home, new parents, new brothers and sisters. Everything changed because someone chose him. It's a wonderful picture of the amazing good news. God does not merely improve our lives. He adopts us so we belong. Stop defining yourself by your past. You are not your failures. You are not your failures. You are also not your successes. Not your career, not your reputation. If you are in Christ, you belong. Paul later says, we have received the spirit of adoption. Christians are not spiritual guests. We are family. Vital we grasp this. We belong in God's big family. Luke 3:23-38 details it. 23-38, many of us skip right over Luke's genealogy. You've done it plenty of times. You're reading in the Bible. You come to one of these spots. What do you do? Let's get back to the action, right? Luke does this very intentionally. He shares this to make a point. Matthew's genealogy of Jesus begins with Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. Why? Because Luke wants us to see that Jesus belongs to the whole human family. He came for all of us, not merely for Israel, for everyone. The genealogy ends, do you see it there? You got it open? The genealogy ends like this: the son of Adam, the son of God. Adam failed as God's son. Israel collectively failed as sons and daughters of God. Jesus succeeds where everyone else failed. Jesus becomes the faithful son who creates a new humanity. Our stories are no longer isolated stories. They become part of God's big, beautiful redemption story. It's why Romans 8, verse 29, Paul says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn. That means the unique, standout, one of a kind among many brothers and sisters. DNA kits reveal surprising discoveries, right? People celebrate finding a famous ancestor in their family line. Many people today spend hours researching family ancestry. My mom loves to research, and she recently discovered that our family can actually trace ancestors to pre-Revolutionary War times, and we have ancestors who were in the American Revolution. Amazing. Fun fact about Daniel James McBride, my buddy, first day in ninth grade at my new school. That guy who so warmly welcomed me that day, first day. 4 years after high school, he married my sister. True. Talk about belonging. Talk about family. Wow. Luke offers something infinitely greater. If you belong to Christ, if you belong to Christ, your family tree reaches distinctly back to God himself. Your deepest identity is not found in your earthly ancestry, but in your heavenly adoption. Your ancestry is divine. Our church, and lots of other great churches, we're becoming a vivid picture of God's family. Vivid picture of God's family. In Christ, the door swings wide open. Young and old belong. Rich and poor belong. Every ethnicity belongs. The lonely belong. The widow belongs. The widower belongs. The refugee belongs. The addict belongs. The doubter belongs. Why? Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit welcome us. As children in the family, they make sure we belong. They make sure you belong. At Jesus' baptism, the heavens open, the Father speaks, the Spirit descends, the Son stands there and prays. The door of God's household is open to the world. Only a few verses later, Jesus enters the wilderness to face temptation, and we'll see that together next time, and some big implications to our belonging. Eventually, Christ will go to the cross. Why? So that rebels will become sons and daughters. So strangers will become family. So sinners could hear the Father's words spoken over them through Christ. You are my so loved. That might be the biggest and best thing you walk with this whole July 4th, 5th weekend to afresh and anew here, maybe for the first time, to actually get it that he gets you and says, you are so loved. That is belonging. Not earning, not pretending, not striving more, belonging. Perhaps you've spent your life trying to prove your worth, trying to earn God's approval, trying to find acceptance in success and relationships, or even religion. Today, the Father invites you into his family through his beloved Son, Jesus. Receive his love today. The Son has opened the door. The Spirit welcomes you home. Come today. Receive God's grace and discover your own place to belong, this place that every human heart is longing for. Let's stand together. The team's going to come and lead us in a closing song, and I want to invite you to reflect on God's love for you. If you're joining with us online today, I want to invite you to hang with us for a few more minutes. And if you're game, right where you are through the screen, stand up and join with us. We're going to pray right now, and the team's going to lead us in this song. And I want to invite you to just, in a fresh new way, hear the Father telling you again how much he loves you. And sense, in a fresh new way, Jesus, the holy, sinless Son of God, what he's done in carrying your sin and taking it upon himself, and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you afresh and anew today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for stepping into those waters of baptism and fully identifying with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You come near, you come close. You're not just an out there power source. You're not some force. You're God's very presence with us, and in fresh new ways today, we sense you. We get to encounter you, Lord God, because of your incredible work, Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you for these words of affirmation, afresh and anew over all of us today. So loved. So loved. Thank you. Help us in the overflow of that love. Be figuring out in our own lives how much we belong and how much we get to extend that love to others so they belong too. We thank you that you opened the doors of heaven wide. The heavens are opened. You opened the doors wide to such incredible grace, such incredible belonging. Thank you, Jesus.